other day, I have a surround sound set up in the basement that is now dry, and so I can have surround sound in it. And so I've got, you know, speakers up front, and then you put speakers on the sides, but I didn't have speakers in the rear. And some of you are saying right now, heavens, man, how did you live? So I bought nothing elaborate, but I bought a couple of small speakers that I can place in the rear. So now I have complete surround sound. So when I watch a movie, every area that my two ears can distinguish has sound coming from it. And if it doesn't satisfy me, I may hang one from the ceiling. I don't know. Jen's going, oh. I bought these little speakers, and I have complete surround sound, and I enjoy that. It is fun to me. I am constantly curious. I think my wife tried to make a deal that if you will just get rid of one electronics component, Devin, and there was some condition on that. But I enjoy these things. But never, like, if you gave me a million choices, would I say life is about stereo equipment or having full surround sound? I just wouldn't do it. And when you talk about what really matters with me, that's not something I would name, or at least not till you got super far down the list. So you see the difference in what I'm talking about, right? Anybody tracking with me this morning? Okay. We can stand up and do jumping jacks if you want. Well, here's the thing. You all know where I'm headed. You know where the sermon is going. You could probably preach it for me, and I'm going to preach to you anyway. And normally that equals sleep, but I have something more important for you than sleep. I want to talk about what Jesus had to say in this area of what life really consists of. And yes, he talked about stuff and then things that really matter. And I'm going to share with you a scripture. Are you ready for this? How many of you are ready for this? Let me hear you if you're excited to hear that. Okay. All right, I'll take that. This is the parable of the rich fool. The parable of the rich fool is what the scribes at some point titled this section of scripture. This is a story about a person who was rich, yet he was an idiot. Listen to this story that Jesus tells. It comes from Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 13. Jesus was teaching a crowd, by the way. This is cool. I'll give you the setting. Jesus was teaching a crowd, and he'd been giving them warnings about how to live for God's kingdom instead of their own good. And he'd been giving them warnings about what it is that really corrupts the soul. And Jesus is always careful to include money with that. Why? Apparently, Jesus thought it was pretty significant that money is a great corrupter of our souls if it's not managed well. But this parable of the rich fool, Jesus is teaching this crowd, and he's giving illustrations about the kingdom of God. You've asked yourself at some points, right, what is heaven like? Or what is God's kingdom like? Or what if everybody lived exactly the way God wanted? Jesus is teaching about that. And here's how it starts, the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd says to him, as he's talking about the things of God and teaching them powerfully, somebody in the crowd says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And like, you can hear it in this verse. I'm not going to make up the next line, but you've got to hear. Jesus was as human as you and I, and yet he was fully God. You got to hear his annoyance in the response. "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Like, dude, seriously. You know, some people are saying, "Jesus, can you heal me? I've been carrying this disease and nobody can help," and Jesus healed them. And some are like, "Tell me about what God would desire for my life." And Jesus said, "For your life, this is what God wants." And somebody's like, "Hey, he's got money and I don't. Tell him to divide it with me. It's an inheritance. It goes to both of us." Jesus is like, "Oh." And I assure you, okay, this is not recorded. I assure you, Jesus wanted to reach into his Jesus pocket and get the annihilate button. But then he looked up at God and he's like, "You love them. Therefore, I will love them." And he put the annihilate button down. But the guy's request in the middle of this powerful teaching is, "Tell him to split his inheritance with me." And what he's saying with that, and please hear this, is he's saying, "Jesus, I need my stuff. I need my wealth. And he's got it all. So help me get more wealth." Jesus responds, "Seriously, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said, "Watch out." Jesus, when he tells you to watch out, doesn't mean like don't trip over the ball on the ground there. Jesus is talking about stuff that has eternal consequences. Jesus is trying to safeguard their souls and better their lives now. Jesus says, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. And here's the line that connects with what I was saying that I hope you get. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Did you hear that? These are straight from the words that we have recorded from Luke that came out of Jesus' mouth. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And so he told them this parable. Don't forget, it's about a rich fool. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. In other words, he had lots. And he thought to himself, what am I going to do? I have no place to store my crops since I have lots. Probably had a place to store it before, but when there was an abundance, well, now I need an abundance of space to store these crops. He said, here's what I'll do. I will tear down my barns, because he already had barns, and I will build bigger ones. And there's where I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. And then I'll take life easy, and I'll eat, and I'll drink, and I'll be merry. But God said to this rich fool, you fool, because see, God knew he was a fool. If you're a fool, you can't hide it. It's probably on your shirts this morning. But God said to him, you fool, this very night, your life will be demanded of you. And again, what does life consist of? Well, it's more than possessions. God says, this night, your life will be demanded of you. And then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? It's not, think about if you have a will made out, you may want to distribute this evenly so that there aren't two people arguing about who gets the inheritance. Jesus is saying, and then what? What happens to your stuff? You had an abundance, and you built bigger barns for it, and you thought, oh good, I can have so much that I'll just live the easy life. Jesus says, and if you die, in this parable, God speaks to him, you will die tonight, and then what? What about all your possessions? What about all your wealth? What about your abundance? What then? This is how it will be. Jesus concludes the story. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. Your life will be taken. At some point, spoiler alert, this happens. Whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's 150 years from now, congratulations if that's you, but at some point, your life expires. And then what? What happens to your possessions? What happens to the things you've stored up for yourself? It doesn't matter to you anymore. They're no good to you anymore. And Jesus says this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. This is a parable of the rich fool, right? We were clear on that. But certainly, you do not live like the rich fool. Am I right? Can I get an amen from you for you? You just amend yourselves in church. Congratulations. Listen, you don't live like the rich fool because that would be terrible, right? All of you give generously to God. In fact, that very, very sensitive nerve, and I think it's still the most sensitive one in the human body that's attached from your heart to your wallet, never gets twanged because you give constantly from all that you have of your possessions, of your time, and of your wealth. You give towards God, and you give towards God first, right? You would never have an abundance and start thinking, what can I do with this abundance? Maybe I can use it to make a difference in the life of individuals, and instead say, no, I will store up my abundance, and I will get more. You wouldn't do that, would you? You would never say, I need to invest more in my lake house or my summer home or my cottage and then say, wow, that really took some upkeep and I don't have enough left to give to God. You wouldn't do that. That would be, I need a word, oh, foolish. You would never invest in a bigger and more powerful and larger bass boat or maybe your first boat. And then say, wow, with the other bills, I have just enough to make it this month. Cool. Only I forgot to give to God. You wouldn't do that, right? Or maybe season sports tickets to your favorite team. You have to attend each and every game. Some of us just watch them on TV. But you invest in the season sports tickets and you say, this is great. I will be at every home game. I can't believe how richly I am blessed. I can't believe how, well, I'll write a check to the church, you know, to show God my gratitude next week or next month. I'll catch up. You wouldn't do that. Or movie passes. Or 91-inch flat-screen TVs. In a moment of confession, I have coveted over a 91-inch flat-screen TV because I want the neighbors to be awake when I turn the TV on because it's so bright, okay? But you would never buy one of those if it were going to cost you the little bit that you believe that you should set aside to give to God. You wouldn't do that. That'd be foolish. Or a newer, nicer home, because sometimes you just run out of room and so you got to upgrade. It sounds like a bigger and better barn, huh? But you wouldn't do that. Unless you were going to continue first giving to God and then do that. A few more stock investments, your third, fourth, fifth vehicle, that hobby that you're really into that would try and consume you and every resource you have, you would never give to those unless first you had shown your gratitude towards God, right? Because you know, you're all aware that life is more than those things, that life is good and full and abundant and is given to you. Each day is given to you by a God that loves you so much, a God that would guard your soul and watch out for your heart and caution you against greed, a God that would say, I am holy and I am good and I bless and I know the keys to life and I will give them to you if you will just follow me. You would never put stuff ahead out of showing your gratitude to that God, would you? Some of you are going to hear this morning and think there's another pastor talking about money again. And I want to be so clear with you. When you tithe, I do not get that money, okay? I make jokes, I think every week, sometimes twice a week, about taking my portion from the offering. But the reality is, I give my portion in the offering, and I do not touch the money that goes in there. So I'm not saying this because I'm going to tell you, maybe like some of the people you can listen to on radio or television, that if you give, you will receive in abundance. The Lord is waiting to bless you if only you would give. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to tell you that as you give, God has that brand new bass boat. What's this? And an SUV. And a larger home. What's behind door number two? It's there if you give. I'm not going to tell you that. Here's what I'm trying to tell you very sincerely, and this is not funny, and it's not made up. You have a good life. You have been blessed. If you were sitting here in church this morning and hearing these words, you have a good life. And it's not that you earned it. How did you get the house that you have right now? You'd say, well, I worked hard for it. Cool. Who gave you the ability to work? Who provided the job? Who do you live in that house with? And where did they come from? And it's all the gifts of God poured out for you. And how do you want to show your gratitude? Do you ever consider that that is a way of honoring God? We've been talking this whole series about maintenance. And again, 2 weeks ago, I had a beautiful Harley Davidson up here. The idea was it is beautiful when it's brand new. And then you have to take care of it. And then there's wear and tear. And you have to invest in it. And the things that you don't take care of break down. Guess what? If you don't give to God, your life will break down. No, that's not what I'm doing. But the relationship with God, the priority that you give to God, if you don't maintain it, it will also break down. God invites you, the creator of all things and the giver of all things, the one who sent his son for you, the God that came to live and dwell among people, the God that will claim us again someday, invites you into relationship with him. And to be fully in that relationship with God, you have to say, every area of my life is open to you. And you need to recognize what you have in life now There should be a time and a way that you give back in gratitude. And you can praise God all day. And some of you are like, I spend my Sundays here with you praising God. Good. And you can pray to God, which I think is important. And I hope that you do take time and pray. God wants to talk with you too. And you can do good out in the world, and that's so important that we love our neighbors like we love ourselves. But when you say, my praise for you, God, stops when it involves my money, please, Jesus, get your hands out of my wallet, there's a problem, isn't there? Because again, it's not me. I'm not picking your pockets except for Phyllis. When I walked by Phyllis, I took something from you. I'll give it back later. I'm not picking your pockets. You look around our church, it's not that we are rich in terms of elaborate. We just had a crew here cleaning up the water out of the basement. But it's the idea that all of our lives should be worshipful to God, and that should include that we offer to Him first. That enjoy the things of life. Don't mishear me, okay? Enjoy your new boat. Enjoy your bigger, better house. Enjoy your season sports tickets and your movie passes and enjoy your summer homes. Enjoy all that. But do those things only after you've said to God, you are first. I will give to you first. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And just to give a little bit of a backdrop, some of you are thinking, well, when you talk about giving, Pastor Devin, what does that look like and how does that work? Glad you asked. I heard it. It started way back in the Old Testament. This started, as far as we can figure, a gigabazillion years ago, okay? It started pretty much as soon as we start reading about people following the one true God, that there were offerings made. But the one that kind of sticks out to me today, I want to read for you. So this is way back in the first book that we have in our scriptures. And it's this guy, Jacob, who's going to set out on a journey, and he's going to try and live his life for this God. And he makes this pact, and we don't necessarily make pacts like this with God today, but he made a vow, and he said, if God will be my God and watch over me on this journey I'm taking, give me food to eat and clothes to wear, and let me return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And I will give 1/10 of all that I have. I just want you to hear the simplicity of those words. Way back, before the church era, before we had churches, okay? Before Jesus, before God had sent Jesus to live among us. Way back, this character, this Jacob, says, God, I'm setting out on a journey, and here's what I need. I'd love to have clothes to wear, and I'd love to have food to eat, and just keep me safe. If you do that because I'm grateful, right, because of the gratitude in my heart, I will give you 1/10 of everything that I own. How many of you have clothes to wear? Some of you, again, are in the ugly shirt club, but you have clothes to wear. How many of you have food to eat? How many of you know that as a church we offer people food to eat and clothes to wear if they don't have, but you have those things? Do you not want to offer to God from the gratitude of your heart? Because my hunch is, tell me if I'm wrong, my hunch is you have more than clothes to wear and food to eat. So here's the deal. As we've discussed stewardship, and as we've discussed maintenance, and as we've discussed like keeping things in order, I talked about maintaining ourselves. Did anybody stop and look at their lives and say, there are things that I need to do to make myself healthy? Did you do that? I gave you homework on that. Did you complete the homework? No, your grade's not looking good. I talked about friendships, and it's important to maintain our friendships. How many of you evaluated who you have as a friend and what you might need to do to keep up on a friendship? Anybody do that? I don't want to flunk a whole class. There's just a few of you that are going to pass here. I'm asking you today to take a look at your relationship with God. Do you know who God is? Do you know His Son, Jesus? Do you love that He sent Jesus for you? Would you say you have a good life? Is it possible you didn't earn that life, that it was given to you, and the abilities that you have were gifted to you? And if you can say those things, How are you going to maintain a way of honoring God? How are you going to maintain your relationship with God? How are you going to show God your gratitude? Oh, I'm thankful to be in church. Yes, Jesus, I love you. Oh, I'm thankful because I can pray at this moment. Jesus, answer every want that I have. What? Give money? Get thee behind me, Jesus. We ain't doing that today. I'm asking you for your homework this week. How much do you set aside that you give? Okay, jokes aside, how much do you set aside that you give? Do you set something aside, or do you just take what's left and be like, oh, let's see, well, it's almost empty. Here's a buck that's got. How much do you set aside, do you plan, that you offer God? And when you give, do you give because last week the pastor preached about it until my ears were bleeding? Or do you give because you're like, God, you really have blessed me. Thank you. I want you to evaluate that. I want you to write that down. I want you to make a note in your phone. And I want you to write it down and make a better note than you have for the past 2 weeks, gauging by your responses, okay? I want you to look at and to answer the questions. Do you set something aside that you will give to God first, whatever else comes? And do you give that from a place of joy and a place of thankfulness? Because you need to watch out and be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Jesus knew this would corrupt the soul. Jesus knew that we can live sometimes like rich fools. But Jesus also knew and reminded us that life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. You know what life consists of? The goodness that God has given you to sustain you each day and the gifts that you find surrounding you as you live each day. Would you pray with me? I am thankful, God. From the bottom of my heart, I'm thankful for what you've blessed me with, God, and I can confess to you that sometimes I want more and more and more. Forgive me for the times that I want so much that I bump you down the priority list, but God, at the same time, help me to be ever grateful for what you've given and to give back to you in any way that I can. This is my prayer and my prayer for the people. In Jesus' name, amen.